Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Focus of our message today is on Matthew chapter 4, Jesus' calling of his disciples to follow him. Have you ever played Follow the Leader? Just because I think it's a little fun, I'd like to refresh your memory here this morning. Hope that was a little bit of a blast from the past for you, or some of you maybe it's a little bit more recent. But that little clip from Peter Pan, Following the Leader. I think just about everybody has, well, just show of hands, how many have played Follow the Leader before? Okay, yeah, it's pretty common. Just in case there's somebody that has not played it, the whole idea is that somebody leads, and then as they walk along, they do actions and leap and jump and do different things, and everybody has to follow along. And Follow the Leader is a lot of fun, as long as every once in a while you get to be the leader. Because, I mean, really, who wants to be the follower all the time, right? You know, we want to be able to make people do goofy things. We want to be able to lead the direction where we want to go. But now we look at Matthew chapter 4, and Jesus says, follow me. And guess what? He's the leader all the time. And this isn't just some game. This is Jesus leading our life. In fact, like the hymn says, Christ be my leader. We want him to be there, don't we? Well, the truth is that sometimes in our words and actions, we kind of tend to give the opposite impression. But when Jesus calls and he says, follow me, or anybody says to you, follow me, a couple questions might come to mind. First is why. Second is where, and third is how. And we're going to take a look at all three of those today as we take a look at these words from Matthew chapter 4 and why it's so important for Jesus to always be the leader. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear Christian friends, I can remember walking through a dark room one time. And it was a public space. It was a church narthex. And I knew where everything was in that narthex. And it was completely dark. I didn't want to turn on the light. I just wanted to get through the room. And I went barreling through the room. And the thing was that earlier in the day, somebody had moved what was a bulletin stand made of solid iron and moved it 10 feet over. To this day, I have never seen that stand in that exact location ever again. It was a one-time thing, and I'm barreling through, never saw it, and I'm just thankful that the first thing that hit was actually my foot, because there was a bar near the bottom, and it just caught the bridge of my foot, which did some damage. I was sore for a while, but at least I didn't run into it with my whole body. But it went down with a crash. I at least stayed up. The top broke off, and it was a mess. It did get fixed, and it's still working today. But if you've ever had a situation like that, you know that it's not safe to walk through a darkened room. Sure, sometimes you can get away with it, but most of the time, bad things happen. Walking around in the dark can be disastrous for your health. And the truth is that we were all in darkness like that in our lives. We were lost in the darkness of sin and unbelief. That's, in fact, why Jesus came into the world, to take care of that exact problem. Well, more than 700 years after Isaiah told the people of Israel that a great light was coming to Zebulun, Jesus moved from Nazareth into the whole region of Galilee, thus fulfilling what Isaiah had prophesied. Land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, along the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, the light has dawned. And so Jesus moved his ministry into Galilee, into a place and for a people rooted in darkness. Because that's what Jesus does. He brings light to us who are held hostage in our own homes, who sit in the darkness of the oppression of sin, held hostage by that unholy trio of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, and we have just had the lights turned on. Now, when I was a kid, something I liked to do, and maybe you did too, was turn over like a rock or a rotted log, you know what I'm talking about? And when you did that, remember what was underneath there? Yeah, all kinds of creepy crawlies, right? So you roll the log back, and everything kind of scatters. And it's interesting to see how the ants and creepy crawlies and everything else, they all try to get in back into the darkness, right? They don't want to be exposed to the light. They don't feel safe there. They don't feel right there. They feel that you're some other critter that's come along and unearthed them and is going to eat them. And so they run for cover, run to get back into the darkness. Kind of like Adam and Eve, huh, after the fall into sin. When Jesus came walking in the garden and they hid, they scattered. Well, our light, Jesus, has come. And now he comes to each of us and he says, follow me. But we love the darkness and we just want to stay there, don't we? That darkness where we feel safe, where it's what we know by nature. We try to run and hide. We hate that light by nature. Really, when Jesus says, follow me, we don't want to follow. In fact, we just want to lead, don't we? Because then we can be where we want to be. Then we don't have to be where God wants us to be. We can do what we want, when we want, where we want, and how we want. Because then we can be in the darkness. But that's kind of an important point, huh? That we're in the darkness. I mean, if we're going to lead and we're in the dark, what do you think the results are going to be of us leading in the darkness? It's going to be like me walking through that church entryway and laying a boot into an iron stand, and it's disastrous. The blind leading the blind. It's kind of like a lady in Reader's Digest. She was caught in a blinding snowstorm, and she didn't quite know how to get where she needed to go safely, but she remembered words of wisdom from her father, who said, if you're ever caught in a snowstorm and you don't know your way, just wait for a snowplow to come along and then follow the lights. So she did, and the snowplow came along, and she followed that snowplow for an hour until finally the snowplow driver stopped his truck, got out and walked back and said, excuse me, but what are you doing? And she explained that her dad had told her those words of wisdom. If I'm ever lost in a storm, to make sure to follow a snowplow. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm following you. And he says, well, lady, you can keep following if you want to, but now that I'm done at the Walmart parking lot, I'm going to go over to Kmart. That's how it is, isn't it? When we think that we who are lost in darkness can lead, can do it our own way, can go the direction that we want, that's just going to lead to going around in circles, crashing into traps and obstacles that are laid out there by the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. When we think that we know the way, when we think that we can get there on our own, it's just trying to lead in the darkness, and the end results are disastrous, going round and round. Stop trying to lead. Stop trying to do it your own way. Stop trying to figure out, stop trying to find other people and other things and other ways to cover your own guilt, to try to ease the burden, to try to somehow do it on your own. Follow the leader. Follow Jesus to the cross. During the Civil War near Palmyra, Missouri, there was a group of Confederate irregulars that were known as the Bushwhackers. They were kind of guerrilla soldiers. They didn't wear uniforms. They just struck quickly and then disappeared. Well, eventually they got captured. And because they weren't in uniform, they were considered to be not soldiers. And so the Union garrison decided that they were to be executed right there. They weren't soldiers, so they were to be shot. Well, as the bushwhackers were all lined up before the firing squad, a young boy tapped the elbow of the captain of the firing squad, and he said this. He said, "Sir, standing at the end of the line is a man I know. He has 10 children, and if you shoot him today, you'll make an orphan out of 10 little boys and girls. Do you believe one can take the place of another? If so, I would like to take his place." The officer, as you can only imagine, hesitated. This was just a young boy. As it turned out, he said, "Both my parents are gone. I don't really have any friends. No one's going to miss me." He said, "But that family, they need their dad." And the officer said, "Do you really feel that way?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And he quickly stepped in line for the man. The firing squad fired, and the boy lost his life. But the other man went free. Shortly after the war, a man was seen in the cemetery where the boy's body was buried, and he placed a special grave marker that is there to this day. He said, "Here lies the body of Willie Lear, the man who died for me." Follow Jesus to the cross, because there is truly the God-man who died so that you would not have to, who clearly took your place, who made sure that you did not have to bear the weight of your own sin, who made sure that you did not have to spend your life, much less your eternity, in darkness. He's the one who brought you into the light. He's the one who has made you who you are, who has given you the ability to see, the ability and the confidence to be able to look to an eternity that's prepared for you. Jesus says, "Follow me." And now you can see to follow his lead. Just look at those disciples in our gospel lesson for today. Jesus asked Peter and Andrew and James and John to follow him, and look what they did and how they did it. Jesus called them, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. There were no excuses. There were no, "Hey, hang on just a second. Let me finish up here. Let me get this hook out of the fish's mouth and then I'll come join you." No, they dropped everything. It doesn't even appear that they took the time to say goodbye. They just immediately followed and hung on for dear life. And why? Because they had seen the promised light. They saw the change that it had on them, and they knew that whatever was in store, that they were headed in the right direction, following the right leader, the true light of the world. See, that's what happens when you realize that you've been brought into the light of Christ, the true light, the lights of the world. He makes you his own. He seeks you out, makes you his own, forgives you and loves you and empowers you. And he says, "Now follow me. Live as children of light." And we no longer ask why. We don't bemoan the fact that we're only followers. We just drop everything, grab a hold of his hips, and follow. Now that may seem like sort of a weird thing, but let me explain. Imagine a whole field of snow. I know it feels like spring has sprung today, but just work with me here. Snowstorm may still be coming. And it dumps 40 inches of snow out on this field, but a father and son have to get it across it. So this father and his little boy, who is not even as tall as the snow, has to follow along. And so what the father does is he says, "All right, now follow behind me. Just grab a hold of my hips, and I'm going to step, and the spot that I leave behind, you step into." And he follows along, and they make their way all the way across the field. Now, as you know, it's probably pretty hard to hang on all the time. You know, tough to keep both hands on, and you slip and fall off. But you got to hang on for dear life, right? Because otherwise, he's going to get stuck in the snow. But here's the thing, every time he slips, every time he trips, every time he loses his grip, dad turns around, picks him up, hooks him back on to make sure that he's holding on with both hands, and they start again, and they just keep going. And recollecting a similar description, how many sets of prints do you see walking across that field? You just see the one. As we walk in step with Christ. That's the Christian life. That's walking as children of the light, following Christ in everything we do, everything we say, everything we think. And yes, we may stumble along, we may scratch an itch and lose our grip. But every time Jesus turns around and he picks us up and he puts us back on his hips and he says, "Walk with me, follow me." And in his grace, we know that we can because of what he's done for us and how his Spirit is at work within us. That is walking in Christ. Recognize we can turn to our baptismal grace and know that we are forgiven of our sins, knowing that his love is on us and in us. His Spirit is at work, and we can walk as children of the light, step for step. Amen.